Well, we're going to find out more because load shedding is creating hassles for drivers on their daily commutes. Additional traffic and more challenging road conditions. It is placing extra pressure on drivers, even more so on learner drivers. Stand-up comedian, and he's a driving coach, Eugene Matthews, joins us on the line now about the difficulties that learner drivers face on the road as a driver when load shedding strikes. Welcome, Eugene. It's good to have you.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. I got a funny conversation, a funny feeling this is going to be a funny conversation.
Well, that's not the intention, but, you know, my nature.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping for that nature to be abundant in what remains of my time on air today. But, yeah, I've seen how, especially learner drivers, and sometimes their cars aren't marked. Surely all learner drivers must have their cars marked. Is that the rule?
I hate to start the sentence with but that's the word. The problem that we have in Cape Town is when people see that L sign, they tend to get rude.
Oh, I kind of
forget that they were learners once upon a time. Their sense of patience goes out the window, and then sometimes we just decide let's not do the lesson with the red L on. And sometimes the people are nicer because they're a bit more patient because it's just another car in the road. Oh, there must be something wrong with the car. That's why the car is going so slow.
But, you know, man, come on, Eugene.
It depends on the individual.
Eugene, if you're standing at the stop street behind a learner driver and they're looking in the rear view mirror, 30 second each rear view mirror, there's three. And then they look around again and then they go over and the light turns red. What are you supposed to do?
Be patient with the learner.
Yeah, but I got
the car tells you that's a learner in front, be patient.
No, but
you're going to get to your destination maybe a minute or two later. That's it. It's not that big a deal. Just wait. Let the learner get out of the way, and then you can start driving.
Eugene, you're the coach, right? So
yep.
How long do I check my perimeter, my rear view mirrors, before I move at a robot? How long? I mean, surely you don't have to sit and look at it for 30 seconds. Each
I feel
murder?
Like you got your driver's license before the K53 was introduced. And when was that? When was those, Clarence?
I understand K53, but I mean, how long do you have to look into the mirror to see that it's safe? Surely not okay. So long.
What's supposed to happen is you're supposed to do your 5-point check. Just before the robot turns green, you start with your 5-point check. So it's your left blind spot, your left mirror, your center mirror, your right blind spot. If the robot is green at that point, then you can start moving off.
Yeah, I'm saying it takes too long. It takes so long that you're the second car behind the learner driver at the robots, and you don't get to make it through the green light. That is too long, right?
Are you going to die, or are you just going to wait a few, not even 2 minutes, and leave again? The big thing here is patience.
I'm saying
you
it's your responsibility.
You needed to learn once upon a time.
I'm saying
you also needed to learn.
I didn't. I didn't, actually.
Oh, you just got in a car one day and you drove it?
Yeah, I was watching my friend. He stole his father's car, so I did the same to my dad's car. But let's just move.
That explains so much, Ben. Here we go.
Listen, yeah, you got to tell the learner driver, and I do have the patience. I'm naturally a patient person, that they cannot be looking in the mirror for too long. Their 5-point check doesn't have to be that long, man. That's one frustration. I think I speak on behalf of many people. Don't you tell them that as a coach?
Of course we tell them that, but they need to also do it over and over and over so that they can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-point check, drop handbrake, and pull off. This isn't something that just happens.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5-point drop handbrake, move off. Yeah, I mean, that was less than 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's how it becomes. By the time they do their driver's test, they are able to do it. But it's going to take a couple of hiccups and the car's going to stall and all of these things are going to happen. But they need to go through that so that they can get good at it, which is why we drive around in like the suburbs, we drive around wherever so that they can get used to it. And once they are more confident about their pull away, then we take them onto roads where there are robots and all of those things.
Listen, this
is... At least that's what I do. I don't know what the rest of them.
This is your opportunity. What frustrations are you getting in the traffic? And you get the sense that people are not necessarily familiar with the rules of the road. Maybe that they don't have their driver's licenses yet. Maybe that their driver's licenses they bought at the local supermarket. If you have any frustrations that you've noticed on the roads, a great opportunity to vent it right now and maybe establish from Eugene Matthews where this problem comes from. He's also a stand-up comedian and a driving coach.
I tried to separate the two, but okay, keep going.
Do you tell people that the most important rule of the road is keep left and pass right? Do you tell people because they don't, they clearly haven't heard you?
Well, if you pass your learner's test, then you should know it. But it is something that I do tell many of my clients. I call them my kids. I talk to my kids and I tell them this is the important rule. Also, don't get freaked out by the other people's impatience. You do what you need to do. The other people must just deal with you being on the road.
No, man.
If you learn a test and you have a license, a qualified driving instructor next to you, you have all the right to be on the road and to take the time to learn to be a proper, patient, courteous driver.
I'm with you. You got a qualified driving instructor next to you. You're doing 40 kilometers in a fast lane. What's the instructor's responsibility?
Well, we do try to get them to pick up speed, but we also need the student or my kid needs to control the car at 20 and then control it at 30. And if they got it at 30, then take it to 40. And if they can control the car at 40, then take it to 50. And then take it to their top speed, 60. Because 60 is their legal top speed.
So you
need to be able to control the car. You can't be driving at 50, but the car is veering all over the place. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have a controlled car going at 40?
There's parking lots you can do that in, isn't there?
Are you going
to
drive?
Doesn't have to be on a public road.
Imagine you in Macro in the parking lot driving at 40 with a learner behind the wheel. That is not safe. Driving on a longer road, take it on 40 road, 40 is safer. That's where they learn car control. That's where they learn how to deal with other cars hooting with them and me screaming, don't worry about them. You do what you do. You are strong. You got this. Type of thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of motivation that goes into doing this job. We call ourselves driving coaches.
Somebody agrees with you. Somebody says, for everyone's safety, let them get used to doing the right thing, Clarence. Teach learners how to navigate a traffic circle properly. Why can't they figure that out? I mean,
it's something that needs to be taught.
It's logic. I come from a school self-taught. You understand? It's logic. Why is the logic missed on so many people?
Ooh, now we're getting psychological here. I actually do not know why some people do not have that logic, but it's also sometimes you just need to be taught things. I can look at a traffic circle and think to myself, okay, whoever's inside that traffic circle has the right of way, and when it's safe to go, go. The next person, you know, some people are raised in a way where the world revolves around them, and then they come to my driving school and I make them realize, actually, no, the world doesn't revolve around you. You need to be part of the solution. You need to be part of everybody getting safely to their destination. You can't be the reason why there was an accident. And this is something that I teach to a lot of, especially my younger male students. I have to tell them, whoa, hold it. Give that person his turn, and then you go when it's safe. It comes down to how you were raised also. It's a lot of factors. And it also comes down to the individual. Because now, on the flip side, I have a nun that I'm busy teaching, believe it or not. I'm teaching a nun. And it is such an eye-opener because she is so courteous and so considerate to the point where it's dangerous. If she takes a turn into a road and somebody's crossing the road, she will stop and let that person go over. And I, on Sunday, I had to tell her, no, you're dangerous now because you are blocking off the cars that's coming on. So you need to use your right of way and go over. Whoever's crossing the road will see your car and will have to stop and let you through. It's not you let him through.
I'm gonna lose the plot. I mean, she's blocking the road. There's, again, no logic. I'm going to be really angry, and I can be angry because my God is a forgiving God, and that none must just understand.
Okay, but will your God understand what you did to the nun?
No, I'm not gonna kind of knock the car, but it is really frustrating, and I want to know, just since you are there, you are at the coal face. There are people that are driving cars, and I wonder if they've purchased their driver's license. Is that even possible?
It is very much possible. I am now I'm gonna squeal myself, but okay. We as driving instructors, we get approached by various parties, letting them know that, listen, yeah, if you want a guaranteed pass, give us a certain amount of money, send your client in, let them at least get through the yard, and once they're out of the yard, it's a guaranteed pass. So that bribery thing is going on, but I have spoken to an authority figure or two about it, and the work is being done.
Somebody takes issue with me. Somebody says, no wonder lots of people in our community have such arrogant and inconsiderate attitudes when someone with a privileged position of a radio presenter advocates such attitudes. Janine Nkomati. No, I'm not going to accept that.
I don't think you're advocating. You are just expressing the frustration that a normal driving person would have.
Yeah, I think Janine is not having the best of days. That's the frustration. Frustration, literally, about the amount of time it takes learner drivers to move at a stop street specifically, or
so
through a changing light.
Busy hooting is not helping.
I'm not.
Leave the person. Let the student pull away and figure it out. Give them that few minutes. It's not even going to cost you that much time.
I have no issues with that.
Give them the moment to do it.
I'm not hooting. I'm just fuming.
No, you're not. You aren't hooting, but there are people who are hooting, and these people, maybe this people person is in a massive Ford Ranger or Isuzu or whatever, and then the person in front, the student, is intimidated by the big size. But then I tell them, let that bucket touch my car, violence will break out. I'm from the ghetto, I'm Kensington's girl, I will have my moment where I say, listen here, why would you, no, you're not helping. Now there is an even bigger delay because you knocked into my car.
Yeah, no. Somebody says, I really admire this learner coach. He's so understanding of his students. We should have more patience with learner drivers. Most of us were there at some point. I think our patience is tested. Yeah. And it's not just the learner driver in the traffic that is trying to develop the skill. It is the fact that the roads are full. And the roads are full because the trains aren't running and the buses aren't running. It is that kind of frustrations from all sides. And people are losing the plot. And it's frustrating. Somebody writes, I'm from Wellington and a lot of the PLAS owners come into town and don't use their indicators on their big buckies. Town is not the farm. People don't use indicators. People don't know what their mirrors are there for when they're driving, learner drivers especially.
Even more worrying, they don't use the blind spots when they change lanes.
Blind spots as well.
It's good to use your mirror, but your blind spot is more important because that catches the section that the mirror doesn't catch. And how many times haven't you moved over into another lane and then beep, oh, ooh, sorry, because you never checked your blind spot.
I'm all of my frustrations, and this is catharsis. I'm getting it out of my system, Eugene. You are my bouncing board here now. My other frustration is when people talk in the car. I have no problems with a very talkative car. But they don't have to turn their heads in the direction of the people that they're talking to, surely. Do you tell your learners that?
No, I want them to keep their eyes on the road, and
yes,
only the eyes only needs to leave the front when they look at their blind spot, but then the eyes must come back to the front. I am not familiar with any. Okay, I've never come across any of my students who look at me and talk to me. They must look forward. And if they do look at me, and I mean look at me, I'm gorgeous, but also look at the road. That is the important part. Control the car, keep your eyes on the road. That's the utmost importance. That's why we are safe.
How would you rate Cape Town drivers? Do you think that we are good drivers, average drivers, or bad drivers?
Look, I've been to Johannesburg a couple of times, and I prefer to. I like driving. You know, I love driving, actually, and driving in Johannesburg versus driving in Cape Town is a whole different ballgame. So Cape Town's drivers, if you understand how Cape Town works, then you will drive in Cape Town like it's not a problem. But somebody who hasn't been in Cape Town for a very long time or is driving in Cape Town for the first time might struggle because we just have our own flow. We have our own sense of rhythm, our own spice, our own way of dealing with issues should it come along. We aren't terrible drivers. We are able to drive anywhere, but not everybody can drive here, I think.
Yeah, I'm wondering also if our whole testing regime is doing us any justice. Do you think there's additional elements that needs to be added to the process of acquiring a driver's license?
This could end up burning me. But look, I feel like the test is too focused on the unimportant. I feel like, do you feel safe for this person behind the wheel of the car is more important than the car rolling a few centimeters to the back before pulling off forward. So the priority system in the driver's test, that needs to be re-examined. I find that a lot of our instructors are not qualified, or they were qualified and they let the qualification expire, but at the same time, I feel like, why should we do this every year? Every year, I must spend so much money on getting my driving instructor's license, which means I must go to the doctor every year, which is something that I should be doing anyway, but I must do the test every year, etc. Every time there's a new thing that's changed, this is not communicated to us. We must find out after our student fails. Oh, no, they changed how you must do a hand signal, for example. So there's a communication barrier that needs to be broken.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need some kind of a, maybe, and maybe this party is out here, but we need some kind of representation so that if we, how do I put this? Say there's an examiner that doesn't like me personally. That shouldn't affect how he or she treats, or they for that matter, treats my student, you know? So
yeah.
There is a bit of that beef thing going on, which I'm like,
are you serious?
As long as this person is good on the road, why are you taking how you feel about me out on the student? So there's a whole lot of that going on.
And I believe people are like passing out, getting their driver's licenses on bigger cars, whatever that is, let's call it a bucky or whatever, in order for them not to do their reverse parking.
Yeah, people are doing tests on code 10.
Code 10,
and then when they actually need to drive a car, then they're absolutely useless. And I've had a student, or one of my kids, she came to me after failing 4 times with a truck. She came to me and did a driving lesson. And she worked my gear lever like it was still a truck. And I'm like, lady, you're driving a Ford Fiesta. I need for you to relax. I need for you to calm down. Like, stop manhandling.
Be gentle.
Eventually, I just tell her, like, okay, let's pull over. Let's get out of the car. Let's stand on the pavement, because this is what I do. Let's pull over, stand on the pavement, and then I will have words with you. I can't have words with you while you're behind the wheel of my car. You're going to end up over the curb. Then I'm going to stand for that. No. So I spoke to her and I had to let her know that, listen here, get out of the way of thinking that you are driving a truck. Because with a truck, you take a wider turn, obviously, because it's longer and wider and so much slower and more expensive, etc.
Yeah.
So I needed for her to adapt to the car. And I've had a couple of people who have the code 10, but then they come to me because they need to gain the road confidence on a car. And I'm like, why didn't you just go on the car in the first place? They're like, no, well, but why must I have parallel parking? You know, easy parallel parking is if you have the right instructor. It's easy. It's easy. If yeah. everybody else was doing the parallel parking, why would you not spend extra money to go code 10 and then just to avoid that? But there's other difficulties that you face when you do the truck.
We're gonna have to wrap it there, but I think fascinating little insights. That's what's going down in the streets. You also know what the source of some of your frustration is. Eugene Matthews is a stand-up comedian and now a driving coach as well. Somebody says, I think that before you get the other codes, you need to have a code 8. Then you can get the other codes. I'm in agreement with that comment.